I grew up there. There is a place called Maxton, 60 miles that way, 55 miles that way. And so I'm thinking, you know, boy, I'm going to see what, you know, get introduced at my home church. And here's what he did. He went to the pulpit and he said, and I quote, "Who would have ever thought that that mean little boy would ever grow up to be a preacher?" That's my mother who did that. And then he said, "Kenzie, come on and chat." That was it, y'all. That was it. But after hearing CJ get together with what he said, Coach Bullard, I'm wondering if you're not at least tied with me, if not exceeding me. Way back, a long time ago, when this gentleman was in school, and I started to say little was a little boy, but from what I understand, when he was 4 years old, he was that tall. I think he was born that long, from what I hear. But anyway, his father, Dr. Garland Bordeaux, was called to preach at White's Creek Baptist Church. And so as a youngster, he came and had a part in growing up right here in Bladen County. He graduated from high school at Clarkton, and the next day, they packed up and moved on to where God was leading the family and Mr. Garland, Preacher Garland, as he continued in ministry. And time passed, and God got a hold of this gentleman and has led him into the ministry where he has been for quite a while and has shared his heart and passion, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is currently serving Massey Hill, right? Not Massey Hill. No, that's right. Gorman. I'm sorry. I get them backwards. Anyway, apologize for that. Gorman Baptist Church in Durham. And is currently our president of the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. And so it is an honor to have him in that capacity. It's an honor to have him as one of God's ministers. It's an honor to have him just as CJ, because that's what he's been. Because he's been a pastor's pastor. With 80% of pastors in the pulpit in crisis, 50% of new pastors quitting after 5 years or less, adultery, theft, running rampant in the pastorate. CJ has spent this last year going from the coast to the mountains, as we say, from Murphy to Manio, being a pastor to pastors. And I appreciate him for that. I've seen him in settings like this. I've seen him, we've been together at conferences that the FRC has put on, and from Washington, D.C. And I've seen him as he's met with us, just us pastors around a table, up at the farmer's market early on Thursday morning, just to encourage us. And so it's a privilege just to have him as CJ. So would you join me as we welcome back to White's Creek, CJ Bordeaux.
Kenzie, thank you, folks. It's good to be home. And it's a privilege to be here. And take your Bibles, if you haven't, while I'm talking for just a moment. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. But the greatest joy of my life was the day that Christ came into my heart. Second greatest day was when I met my wife. That may slide down to third or fourth. But I remember as though it were yesterday, the morning that we moved from here. It's been 43 years. And that doesn't seem possible. But I want to say, and I can't remember everybody's name, and I want to thank you for how you loved on my mom and dad. This place and this church and this community meant a lot to mom and dad. Mom and dad are both in heaven now. This coming Thursday will be, this coming Wednesday will be 3 years mom's been gone. Dad will be gone 8 years in May. And I live with a tremendous legacy in my life because I feel like I had two of the godliest parents I've ever met. But thank you for being so loving to them. Thank you for what you did in my life. And you know you're supposed to tell people thank you while they can still hear it. But I don't guess he knows how much, but Coach Walter Bullard made a very definite impact in my life. Thank you, Walter. I appreciate it so much. And Glenn, it's good to see you boys. I believe your harmony is tighter now than it's ever been. I didn't get to meet the new guys until tonight. Since you got Ronald out and got him some help, he's singing a lot better. And thank you for that song, Ronald. I appreciate it. We have shared a lot together and laughed a lot together over the years. And love these guys. But I'm telling you, Glenn, and I'm still bigger than you, if you ever come to Durham again and are 6 miles from my church, when you went to Olive Branch and don't call me, you ain't dead boys. All right? Because I sit on you. Yeah. There you go. Well, I want to thank you for being here, Brother Kinsey. Thank you, and Brother Nick, it's nice to meet you. Listen, I'm going to do you tonight like Elizabeth Taylor told her eighth husband, I won't keep you long. Some of you wake up in the middle of the night and go, I got it, you know. Glenn and Ronald know and remember, some of you don't know this, but about 8 years ago, I was about 500 pounds. I was enormous. And have lost 220 some pounds since. So Glenn, you and Ron remember when I was such a big boy. But I want to tell you how it happened. I was watching an infomercial one night. And it said that if you'll buy this machine, you'll look like this guy on TV. I bought that machine. It's still in the box. And here I am. You ever notice they never put fat people on those programs? Now, seriously, wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful if that's the truth? I mean, wouldn't it be nice if you could take one pill and all your problems go away? Amen. There's a lot of people try to take pills to make their problems go away. They just die. And their problems go away. I'm thankful to have had the privilege this year to serve. I've got 3 weeks left, and I'm not running again. I chose not to run. I asked you to pray for my wife. She has some health issues, and so I could be president again, but I've chosen not to be. I've chosen just to be a husband and especially a granddaddy. Yeah, boy. You got a granddaughter on the way, so watch out. Grandpa's got a gun. And, But I chose not to run, but I appreciate what Kinsey said, because in this year, traveling all across this state representing you has been a very eye-opening experience. He not only told the truth in the fact that there's a lot of pastors in trouble. There's pastors tonight that are preparing to preach tomorrow morning that don't know they're going to be in trouble in the morning. As I stand before you tonight, there's 9.6 million people in the state of North Carolina. 5.8 million of them are lost without Christ. As I stand before you tonight, there are over 300 different languages that are spoken in our public schools tonight. And it would be easy, and it would be nice, if all the problems that our churches and our pastors and Christians are facing were easily as solved as buying a machine and leaving it in the box. But that's not the way it is. Now, again, I won't keep you long. I know the hour's late, and I've got to drive home right because I've got to preach 3 times tomorrow. And I don't know what I'm going to preach yet. No, I'm just So write something down right quick, Kenzie, and give it to me when I leave. But I want to talk to you tonight, folks, about solving the problems we're facing in our individual lives and in our church's lives. And I'm sincere when I tell you this, that there are more churches in crisis, more pastors in trouble, more Christians that are struggling than you can imagine. Let me give you a great illustration. Fox News, which you know is a very conservative, fundamentalist-type network, recently did a survey. And if they're going to do a survey with Fox News, you know that it's predominantly going to be conservative people they're talking to and they're pulling. They asked the question, this has been no more than a month ago, they asked the question, what is the value, the significance, and the worth of the church now as it used to be? And folks, again, these are conservative people. 72% of those surveyed said the church no longer has the value and the significance that it once had in America. That's a problem. That is a problem. And I have discovered that many times that the way to find the solution to the problems in life that I face, as Glenn so beautifully pointed out, what a powerful testimony, is that sometimes it's right before our eyes. We try to make it complex. We try to make it complicated. But the answer is very simple. It's right before our eyes. The book of Proverbs, written by Solomon. Solomon was a very wise man. His Hebrew name is Jedidiah, which literally means beloved of Jehovah. He was the son of David and Bathsheba. He ruled Israel for about 39 years after his father's death. He was known as the first commercial king of Israel because during his reign of Israel, they experienced great economical and commercial success, and it was just a very prosperous time for Israel. There's something about Solomon that a lot of times we joke about, and I kind of think is interesting. I don't know that I want to try all of this, but I'd probably like to try some of it. He had 1,000 wives. I'm having trouble saying yes, ma'am, and I'm sorry enough to one, much less 999 more. But in all sincerity, 700 of his 1,000 wives were of royal birth. That was not the problem. 300 of his wives were not. 300 of Solomon's wives were of other ethnic origins, or whether the races, other nationalities, other backgrounds, but they were especially of other beliefs. Now listen carefully, I want to quickly set the stage for what I want to tell you tonight and just try to share with you for just a few moments. You know as well as I know that there's all grades of influences around our children and our grandchildren. Now that when we send them to our public schools, when we send them off to play with their friends, that we don't necessarily have control over. That same theory is in part true because it was not the 700 wives that caused Solomon the problem, but it was these 300 wives, these intermarriages, and through these foreign women, through these other beliefs, Solomon's kingship and his leadership of Israel began to decline. There began to be a spiritual decline. He began to be involved in some gross idolatry, and what happened was the things that he was learning, he was discovering, he was participating in, through these 300 wives, listen folks, it began to filter in to his leadership of the nation of Israel. Can I tell you tonight, in all sincerity, that there's nothing wrong with our churches that a good dose of Jesus won't cure? Amen. But can I tell you tonight that I really do think that the reason our culture, our society, our nation is in the condition it's in is because Christians and churches have not done what we are commanded to do. I mean, I really believe that's the issue as I see it, as I'm going to churches. I mean, I'm talking. Listen, folks, this is no joke. Let me digress one. 2 weeks ago on Monday night, I preached for the Avery Baptist Association, their annual meeting. If you go to the end of the earth and go a little bit further, then I was beyond that. No joke. It was 39 degrees, pouring rain. The leaves were already falling up there in that part of the woods. Beach Mountain Road. I had my GPS system that is a Magellan. I call her Maggie. And I said, all right, Maggie, take me where I'm going. I went around this road. He said, take a right on Sam Fuller Road. I took a right on Sam Fuller Road. I began to notice the highway was narrowing. Then all of a sudden, I felt something. And I'm no longer on highway. I'm on gravel road. It's one. I saw Sasquatch. Let me tell you, I heard dueling banjos. You ain't from up there, are you? I thought, where in heaven's name have I come? I got back out on the highway, wiggled around. I thought I'm absolutely lost. I mean, it was incredible how far up the mountain I was. And there I get up to this little church, and it's filled with people, and there's folks just hungry and anxious to hear the Word of God. And then I go to some church down in Jacksonville that's a multi-million dollar building with strobe lights and floodlights and all kind of stuff flashing, and there's absolutely no hunger whatsoever. I want to share very quickly out of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You've heard this. You know it. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your path. We have a primary need tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And that primary need as Christians and as churches is, first of all, to trust in the Lord. You say, oh, that's very simple. Let me tell you something, folks. The easiest thing in the world for Kenzie and I, and Brother Steve, where are you at? Brother Steve House. Hey, brother, don't know you, but probably knew you before you was born through your family. It's good to meet you. God bless you in the morning. I try not to make too big a mess so you don't have to clean it up, all right? The easiest thing in the world for a pastor to look at somebody and say is this. Okay, sister, okay, brother, I know it's right, but trust the Lord. Now look at me and listen to me. That is the easiest thing to say, but ladies and gentlemen, it is the absolute fact. Because when we don't trust in the Lord, we're going to trust in ourselves or in someone or in something else. The word trust there literally means to have a bold confidence in the Lord. Now listen, to the point of being careless and carefree, because we know God is in control.
Amen. Amen.
It means, first of all, to have confidence. I have a 5-year-old grandson. Got a granddaughter, like I said, on the way. And that grandson is a beautiful little boy. He is so full of life and energy. He's very special because he's named after me. Hush. He'll call us up on FaceTime and say, Papi, he'll show us everything in the house. I love being a granddaddy. If I had known being a granddaddy was so good, I'd have had them first. But I love that. But let me tell you something about my grandson, Conley Jackson, or another third, we call him Conley. And that is, he doesn't like loud noises. Now follow me for a moment. When there's a loud noise or a bang or something, Conley, if he's with me and my wife, Donnie, he'll run up to me. You know, he'll run to me, but Kenzie, he'll stop as he gets to me, look at me to determine if he can trust me or not. No. When that loud noise scares my grandson, he runs straight to Poppy, throws his arms out, wants Poppy to grab him. He'll put those little arms around my neck and squeeze and squeeze. You know why? Because he has confidence that Poppy is going to protect him. Those of you who knew my dad and my mom, even up until my dad's death, when he still had his mind, he could do it. I've been pastoring 38 years, but I got to tell you, there were times in my ministry that even as an adult, even as a father, I would call my daddy up and say, Dad, I just need to talk to you about something. There's something going on in my church. There's an issue going on. And Dad, I just need some direction. I need some understanding. Do you know why I did that? Listen, because my father never gave me bad advice. My father never gave me bad directions. Hey, listen, folks. You want to talk about trusting in the Lord? God's never given us bad advice. He's never sent us in the wrong direction. My question is, if I can trust my earthly father, then why can't I trust my heavenly father? Why don't I have the confidence in my heavenly father? That is the answer, church. But not only confidence, it means that he's in control. That's the problem. That's the problem. We don't want to relinquish the steering wheel and give it to Him. Hey, listen to me. I don't know if you got it, but if you do, you need to hurry up when I pray and I can get out the parking lot before I see it. But if you have a bumper sticker on your car that says, God is my co-pilot, you better get it off before I get out there. God better not be your co-pilot. He better be the pilot. That's the problem, folks. So many Christians, so many churches, so many conventions and denominations want to be in control. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not in control. And if you think we are, then look at the mess we're in. If the Lord Jesus Christ can put His life into the hands of His Heavenly Father, then why can't we? So our primary need as Christians, as churches, North Carolina, as I represent you, and I'm so proud to do that, and I thank God He's given me the chance to come back home and to stand as your president. But beyond that, folks, our trust is not in CJ. It's not in our convention. It's not in Kinsey. It's in Jesus. That's where our confidence, that's where it should be. That's our primary need, second of all. We have a primary emotion. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And listen, do not, here it is, do not lean into your own understanding. I thought about something. How in the world can I fix spiritual problems in my life if I'm not living a spiritual life? I mean that's that. Now I'm gonna get in trouble. I got men in my church that are carpenters and plumbers, just blue collar folks. Now it's okay for them to tell me how to do my job. Baptists have been doing that for centuries. But if I go up to Martin and say, now Martin, you probably need to use a 3/4-inch PVC pipe, and he'd look at me and say, what are you smoking? Are you crazy? You know why? Because I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue how to do what. Now, I know he didn't have a clue to do what I do. And I'm tempted, real tempted, to turn it over to him sometimes, Kenzie. You don't know how close that song is. Sometimes I want to say, knock yourself out. I'm telling you, folks, you be a pastor today, you better have the hide of a crocodile. Because Satan is absolutely domineering and dominating and dictatorial in the things he's doing in our churches and Christians' lives today. And the problem is, so often we fail to understand that the control and the confidence of our life is not based upon what we know, who we are. He says, don't lean on your own understanding. It is the benefit of trusting the Lord. What do you mean the benefit of trust the Lord? Hey, listen, folks, all through Scripture, and I won't take time to read all the verses, but all through this Scripture, trusting the Lord gives us the understanding of the security we have trusting Him, the serenity or the peace we have, the strength and support we have, the stability we have, the safety we have, but most of all, the salvation we have through trusting our Lord. Look at me. When we as individuals and we as a church don't trust God as we should. Listen, you're not hurting First Baptist Clarkson. You're not hurting First Baptist. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting White's Creek. I hear people all the time say, that church is dead. And that church, you know what? There's a lot of churches that need to go ahead and dig the grave. There's a lot of churches dying. A lot of churches struggling. But let me tell you something, folks, and I mean this with all my heart. If the answer and our primary need is to trust the Lord, then He is life. John 14 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Didn't say just the life, but the life. Yes, right. If He is the life we're seeking for, then if we'll trust Him, He can bring that life into this church, into my life, into our community. That's the benefit of trust. We miss out on blessings for ourselves when we don't trust the Lord. I've got in my Bible here a little book. This is the theme of our convention in 2 weeks. Greater things. And Chris Schofield, who is the officer of prayer at our Baptist State Convention, wrote this. And I just decided as president this year, I was going to start October the 1st, and every day I'm going to do that devotional. I don't know if you've seen it, Steve. It's really cool. It's really, Chris does a great job. But yesterday, I believe it was, he wrote about, are you blessable? I thought, that's a new word. Are you blessable? And what he's saying, he's talking about those who are willing to follow the Lord, to abide by the Lord, to obey the Lord. Those are the ones who are blessed. Listen, the reason churches and pastors are struggling in association tonight is because we want to do it our way. We don't want to trust the Lord. There's a benefit to trusting God. I didn't know Glenn's testimony tonight. I had asked and I'd heard he'd been sick. But I'm telling you some folks, and I'm not elevating Glenn. I know he wouldn't do it and he didn't do it. But I'm telling you folks, that took trust that was beyond anything I guarantee you Glenn West has ever had to deal with in his life. Am I right, buddy? There's some benefits of trust, but there's a bounty to trust. What do you mean? Let me just give you some examples. First of all, there's what I call compliant trust. What do you mean by that? It's a big word. Look at Noah. Noah was an idiot to those around him. He's building a boat. What's a boat? It's going to rain. What's rain?
Yeah.
It's going to flood. What's a flood?
Right.
Hey, you know, I've discovered something. Sometimes God calls for us to do something that makes no sense to the world. But can I just remind you of something, folks? The God you and I serve is living where we're going. He's already living in eternity. It just makes sense to trust somebody that's already been where we're going. Noah didn't have a clue. He hadn't seen rain. He hadn't seen dust. He hadn't seen any of this. But he trusted. It was a compliant trust. There's confident trust. Man, I'm going to tell you what. If God said to me, and I'm serious, if God said to me like he said to Abraham, I want you to take your grandson Conley up to a mountain and take a knife and take some wood and I want you to offer your grandson. I'm telling you guys, I'm being honest. I'm being transparent. I'd have to say, now, Lord, me and you need to talk about this. How many of you know what I'm talking about?
That's right.
What'd you, Jerry? Wait a minute. That's my boy right there. Abraham did exactly what God said. And as he did what God said, he got there and Isaac looked at his dad and said, he said, Dad, where's the sacrifice? And what did his dad say? He said, Son, God will provide. Hey, listen, folks, can I tell you tonight, you can have confident trust in the provisional hand of Almighty God Yahweh. He spoke and created this world that is spinning in this cosmos. He spoke and the grass grew and the clouds flew. He spoke and the earth parted and the seas roared. He didn't even have to get his hands dirty. I'm telling you, there's a confident trust, a compliant trust. Get this. There's a courageous trust. Man, I remember old Joshua and Caleb. They sent them out with the other 10 to be spies. And they saw those big boogers out there called giants. And the 10 come back and said, oh, oh, it's the deacon board. I ain't running for nothing in Bladen County, but I'm running out of Bladen County in just a few minutes. So I ain't looking for nobody's vote. But I'm just being honest. That's what I see in church. Oh, it's the deacon board. And, Mitchell, you know what I'm talking about. You've been there before. But there was Joshua and Caleb. He said, listen, God is able to beat them. God's able to defeat them. We've got to do what? Trust in God. Whites Creek, listen to me. You're not dead. Your life is not through. Whatever church you're from, whatever background you're, listen, God's not through with you yet. He's still on the throne. He's still at the right hand of God the Father. Listen, trust the Lord. That's what's wrong with America tonight. We'll trust everything from the government to all of these other crazy people up there and around there and over here. I'm telling you folks, the bottom line is trusting God. It's the easiest thing to say. It's not enough just to know about God and to fear God. But folks, listen, there's a need to put our trust in God. You say, yeah, but that's so simple. But folks, that's the beauty of it. Most of the times the answers we're looking for are right there before us, but we're not willing to do that. Then there's our primary action. Notice, trust the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto your understanding. Get this, Christian. In all of your ways acknowledge Him. I like the word ways. That word ways makes us recognize, talks about recognition. Ways means in every step of our life, every part of the journey of life, every direction we follow, every bend in the road, in all aspects of life, God's ways, God's directive, God's principles, God's commandments, God's rules are to be taken into account. Did you see where, was it in Alabama where it was? To where a drug-crazed man crashed his car. It was in Alabama 2 days ago. Crashed his car into a granite statue of the Ten Commandments, broke it in half, shattered it, and got out and said, "Satan told me to do it." Now listen to me. This was the same crowd that was trying to get them to erect a statue of Satan with children there, sitting on the throne with children looking at him with glowing expression. Look at me. Look at me, ladies and gentlemen. When in the United States of America, a country whose freedom was bought by the shed blood of soldiers. Some of you, some of me, some people in this county that have died. When in the United States of America, a Baptist preacher is told, other denominational preachers are told, you can't preach that about homosexuality. We want your sermon. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm telling you, you don't have to watch for the end of time. It's on us. Next Sunday, as I stand Sunday, and I've got a message coming out in the Biblical Recorder from the president of the convention, along with standing with Ronnie Floyd, our SBC president, to challenge our North Carolina pastors to stand in their pulpits next Sunday, November the 2nd, and without reservation or without hesitation say, "I will not cower, I will not cater, I'll not bow down to this God." It is a recognition that in every way of life, God's rules are supreme. God's ways are supreme over the ways of the world. Mark it down, ladies and gentlemen. Mark it down. It's not going to get any better. I don't mean to be a doomsday prophet. I don't mean to be negative. You folks that are in your senior years and you know that you're in the September years of your life, and I'm pretty close to being one of them. I'll tell you something. I love my grandchildren. And I don't even know this grandbaby, this little girl that's coming. Her name's Chloe. But I'm telling you, folks, what scares me to death is my grandchildren don't have anything to look forward to anymore. But it also means not only to recognize, but to yield. Notice he says, acknowledge him. You know what acknowledging the Lord requires? You know what I mean? It requires a fundamental humility on our part. And that's exactly what it requires. It is the recognition that our wills are subject to His wills. You know what I discovered in thinking about the Gospel of Luke and even in Matthew 2 when Satan took Jesus up to a mountaintop and says, "If you'll bow down to me, I'll give you this." Remember that? When he tempted the Lord. Or, "If you'll do this, I'll turn." You know, you just worship me. You know, I've never heard anybody say this, Kenzie, but you know what strikes me about that? Now, listen carefully. Satan, now get this. Steve, I think this is good. Satan was alluding to the fact that he was the owner and possessor of something that he could give. He was saying all of this. Listen, he didn't make that. That was not his. That was by the creation of God. You see, my point, ladies and gentlemen, is Satan wants us to yield to him as though he has power or he has authority. Listen, folks, I want you to listen to me. The only authority Satan has in your life is the authority you give him. I'll remind you of something else. Every time Satan speaks to God about you and about me, he tells the truth. What do you mean? He'll look down and he'll say, "Hey, God, you know Ronald? You know that old boy from down in Pembroke? Look at him, what he's reading. Look at what he's thinking. Listen to what he's saying. Listen to how he blessed that old lady. Right? And that's one of your preacher boys. That's one of your singers." He tells the truth. But when he talks to us about God, he always lies. Didn't he lie to you, Glenn? He always lies. God really loved you. Let me tell you something, folks. Listen to me carefully. God does not have to prove that He loves us. He's already proven He loves us. I had a little girl come to me a few weeks ago, and I love being a preacher sometimes. Little things, I could write a book of humorous things, and I could go on, especially Danielle. Boy, there was a bunch of them down there. Woo, them some folks right there that are straight out of Dueling Banjos. Anyway, Glenn's kin to some of them. Anyway. He really is, aren't you, Glenn? But I had a little child one time. I got to tell you, a little boy come to me, and I had done baptistry. He said, "Preacher, I want to get advertised." I like that. That's good. But I had a little girl. She was 12, 13, 14 years of age. Come to me. And her father was a deacon. Here's what she said to me. Now get this. She said, "I want to be rebaptized." And so I pulled her off to the side and I said, "Okay, Sarah, tell me what's going on." "Well, I just want to be rebaptized." Well, I got to thinking about something. I remembered that not long after I became pastor of that church, I had an open baptism one day because we had several folks that had never been baptized. And this little girl's mother, who's a nurse, an RN, came. Matter of fact, she's beyond that now, came and wanted to be rebaptized. So I understood that the depth of understanding in the family was not great. And so I tried to sit her down and say, "Honey, why do you want to be rebaptized?" She didn't know. I mean, she just didn't know. But I tried to explain to her, if you have to be rebaptized, then in essence what you're saying is Jesus has got to be re-crucified. The Bible says He did it once and for all. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand, all of us, myself, we all need to understand that trusting the Lord is the answer. And acknowledging Him in all of our ways, in every step of life, yielding Him. In other words, getting ourselves off the pedestal to preachers and deacons and teachers and churches. It's not our church. It's His church. It's His bride. Get ourselves out of the way. And then notice what it says finally. He said, "I'll make your path straight." And what I think is so important about that statement is the word paths is pluralized. In other words, wherever you go, whatever you do, no matter where the journey leads you, your paths He'll make straight. I've been doing a study. The Lord just gave me a tremendous outline, I think, on prayer on Wednesday night. You know, the best way to kill your attendance on Wednesday night is say, "We're going to have a prayer. We're going to have a prayer meeting all night long or all service long." Boy, they'll stay away. Because it ain't exciting. If I tell you I'm going to preach on Daniel or Revelation, place is full. But we're going to talk about prayer. They're gone. So I've been talking about prayer. I've been studying prayer. And I realized something. I said prayer is the mechanism. Listen, prayer is the mechanism that God gives us. That He in His wisdom and infinite knowledge and omniscient knowledge, prayer is the mechanism that God gives us to get the clutter and the junk out of our lives that hinders Him from blessing us like He wants to bless us. I thought that was a great illustration because that's exactly what He says here. "I'll make your path straight. I'll get the detour signs. I'll get the potholes filled. I'll get the obstacles out of your way if you'll just trust Me." That's exactly what He said. Just trust Me. I read a statement. I think it was what Ian Bound said. He said, God's saying in that statement through Solomon, "I will never leave you spiritually stranded or spiritually shipwrecked." Never. So it means to remove the obstacles that hinder us, and then it means to replenish, refresh. I'll tell you something, folks. I have preached in larger churches and smaller churches. But I tell you, there's a good spirit in this church thing. There's people raising their hands and celebrating. That's the way it ought to be. Listen, it ought not to be just our regular Sunday morning service. Every time God's people get together, it ought to be special. Hey, I've noticed over the years, Brother Kent said, that if we have one of those Yahoo Sundays, you know, man, I mean, the preacher just kicks it in gear and the choir kicks it in gear and we just have a glory hallelujah time. You go to McDonald's or Burger King or Bo Hangley's or whatever it is on Monday morning. And oh, I ain't about to eat that food. But you go in there and that's all they're talking about. "Oh, it was such a great service." Hey, listen, that's the way we ought to talk every Monday. We all need refreshing and replenishing. I'll tell you, listen, I'll tell you how to do it. You ready for this? Can you handle this?
Trust in the Lord. A little girl was walking down a foggy sidewalk in London one night. She wanted to cross the street. And she began to look in the faces of people that she was coming toward, or coming toward her, or walking with her. She would look at their face to find somebody that had a gentle expression on their face, that looked trustworthy, to help her across the street. She just didn't know the light system and all that. And somebody came by and had a scowl on their face, and somebody looked like they were in a hurry. And the little girl was despondent until here comes this elderly gentleman with a cane, creeping along, tapping the sidewalk with his cane, and had such a gentle expression on his face. And the little girl felt at ease with him. And listen, now listen carefully. This is good. Now close. She looked at him and she said, "Sir, would you help me cross over?" He said, "Of course." And so he helped the little girl cross over safely to the other side. And then he disappeared in the dark of the night. Sometime later, she disappeared into the night. Sometime later, that older man was talking to someone, and listen to what he said. He said, "The greatest compliment I have ever been paid was by a little girl whose name I don't know who put her trust in me." Ladies and gentlemen, I want to leave you with this thought tonight. After all that our Heavenly Father's done for us, after all He's given us, after time, after time, after time, after time, God has proven Himself and His words and His promises to be true. Can you understand tonight, can you agree with me that the one thing that will cause our Heavenly Father's heart to celebrate as much or more than anything else is when we simply trust Him? Now, I don't know who's here tonight. I know some faces and a lot of folks that are here, but I don't know what your relationship with the Lord is. Can I tell you tonight that if you've never had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, I want you to understand something. It has nothing to do with being a Baptist. It has nothing to do with being a Methodist. Listen. I hate to disturb Southern Baptists, but they're not going to be the only ones in heaven. And a lot of them that think they're going to make it ain't going to make it. The way you get into heaven is not by denomination, by creed, or by motto. We attain heaven by simply saying, "Lord Jesus, I trust you with my life. I invite you to come into my heart. Save me from my sins. I receive your Son as my Savior." That's it. Romans 10:9, "We'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. We shall be saved." That's it. I didn't write it. He did. So if you've ever had a face-to-face personal encounter with Christ, I'm telling you that the way to have Christ is by trusting in him, acknowledging him in all of your ways, and then let him be the guide for your life. Deacons and teachers and pastors and preachers and other, listen folks, I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey, but I'm telling you, as your friend, I want you to know that, ladies and gentlemen, if there's ever a day and time when we're going to need extra support, extra protection, extra strength, it is in the days that we're getting ready to face. So it just simply makes sense, as I said earlier, if we know that the God we serve is already living into the eternity of where we're going, then it just makes sense to trust him. See, Thomas was one of those disciples that kind of had I won't believe until I see it attitude. You go to John 20:29, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have seen and believed, but more blessed are those who have not seen and yet they believe." We have the opportunity to be even more blessed than the disciples. I want to challenge this church, Whites Creek Baptist Church. I want to challenge whatever church. You don't have to be a part of this church to come to an old-fashioned altar and kneel and pray. But I want to challenge you tonight. It's easy to come to an altar. It's easy to come and say, "Lord, this is what I'm doing. I'm giving it to you." And then we get up, pick it up, and right back. Where was I? You say, "But preacher, you don't understand." Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I got a 35-year-old son, stepson. He's been in prison, been in jail, been on drugs, been on alcohol. I'm telling you, it's a wonder I'm able to be here tonight, because there's been more than one time I wanted to kill him. And I'm not joking. He's been a constant thorn in my flesh. But you know what I've discovered? Listen to me. You know what I've discovered? I've discovered that it has reminded me that pastors are not immune from problems in their family. It has kept me more humble than I could have ever imagined before my Lord, and reminded me that the strength that I need to get through that is the same strength you need to get through your situation. And that is trust in the Lord. I'm going to ask you tonight. If you don't know Christ, would you come take Pastor Kenzie by the hand and say, Pastor, I don't know what to say, what to do. I just know I want to give Christ my heart, and I want to trust Him. Would you show me He'll do it? Lumber River's going to come and help sing our invitation. I'm going to ask you in a minute to stand, and just stand where you are. Bow your head and close your eyes. Nobody looking. The altar's going to be open. People will let you out. Doesn't matter what church denomination you're from. We're not talking about denomination. We're talking about trusting the Lord. And maybe there's a problem in your church. Maybe there's a problem in your life. Maybe there's a problem in your family. There's chairs over here. We'll clear out bushes if we have to. We'll give you room at the altar.
Amen.
But trust in the Lord and leave your problems. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Guys, come on. Thank you, Father, for the privilege and the honor you give us tonight to just stand and preach before this church that means so much to my life. And I know, Lord, that tonight Mom and Dad's in heaven. I know my dad is proud of his son. But Lord, he's not nearly as proud of me as you are of your only begotten son. Who hung on a criminal's cross and died a brutal, malicious death. So that sinners and rascals and thieves and rapists and murderers could one day close their eyes in this life and step into heaven the next moment. I pray that tonight, Father, if there's anybody in this church that does not know Jesus or they're not certain of their salvation, tonight they'll come. I pray they'll take Pastor Kenzie by the hand. If he has to go to the back room, Lord, we'll close it. Please don't let them leave tonight without knowing Christ. I pray that tonight for White's Creek Baptist Church and for every church involved here tonight, that we'll understand that the issues in our churches and the issues in our families and the issues in our lives revolves around trust. Removing ourselves from the leadership and the ownership and the one trying to find our way through the maze of sinfulness and darkness and releasing our humility and bowing before You. I heard it said once before, Lord, and I think it's true. When we're all on our knees together, nobody can look down their nose at anyone else. So tonight, Father, tonight, would you infiltrate the hearts in this room? May real revival begin tonight. May celebration of 100 years be inconsequential to what God does tonight.
Amen.
I thank You, Father, for giving me this privilege. Now with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking, would you stand? Pastor, you come. He's going to stand for it. Nobody looking. The altar's open if you need to come right now while the guys say, wait. That's okay.
I make mistakes.
We're going to be in heaven together.
I slip and fall.
Won't you come right now? Trust me.
Just contemplation more. But I'll prove today just why I say I'm of a special kind. Oh, when
He's on the cross. Worshiping all over this place. Would you come? Let's celebrate Jesus tonight. Would you come and trust Him? Preacher, you don't know how deep it is. You don't know how bad it is. No, I don't, but He does. Right? acknowledge Him, and He has promised.
God was the blood was on His face. Those scorned were on His head. His blood ran down that scarlet road, and it stained crimson red.
Oh, wait, no, me, would you come?
Oh, His eyes, they were on the crowd that day. Listen, folks. He looked ahead in time, for when He was on the cross, trouble was on His mind.
Just trust Him tonight. That's it. Trust
for
Him.
He knew.
Yes, He knew us, even like we were.
Yet He loved me.
Can you imagine Him loving us and He knew? While we wait, while the pastor is
yet He
loved
me.
Altar still open, church.
He
Holy Spirit's been in
the
night. Is it in your heart?
Makes all the heaven shine. See, that is it.
Yeah.
I was so unworthy.
Yes. What about it, church?
Father, tonight you have broken the bonds of the natural with the supernatural, with your presence and your Holy Spirit. Father, we can't grasp that sometimes. We just can't fathom what it really means when you invade our culture, atmosphere, when you invade our midst. Holy Spirit, just speak tonight, I pray. As the Lord leads and deals with us tonight, Holy Spirit, would you speak to hearts tonight? Would you help us to trust you? Would you give us, Lord, the assurance, the confidence that if we do trust you, Lord, as you've already proved it, but that your trust is valid and true. We can trust in the trustworthiness of our God. Father, would you just speak to us? Holy Spirit, would you move us?